Okay, Boker Tov, today, Chodesh Tov. Today's daf is daf Zion in Chul and Ginulim for a four Shleimor for Alti Yisrael ben Chaya Rochel and Yuli Neshama of Margula Basarav Yosef. So yesterday we were in the middle of the topic discussing Rabbi Yeshua's Eidus. Rabbi Yeshua was a relative, at least by marriage, of Rabbi Meir, and he gave Eidus that Rabbi Meir ate fruits or a leaf of a fruit in Beit Shan without taking Trumas and Maestras. So Rebbe, based on that, said, okay, you know what? Good, Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what he said. Based on that, Eidus, he was Matur. Rebbe was Matur, Beit Shan, Kula, Al-Yadah. So they all started asking, what do you mean? How could that be? So his first answer was, he says, listen, you know, it's very simple, Matur. Until now we were knowing that it was Eretz Yisrael? Because everybody has their psak, you know, meaning that the example we had in yesterday's parsha also, Kites Nechash Nechoshes Asher Osa Moshe, that Yoshevet destroyed the Nechash Nechoshes that was in yesterday's parsha about how Moshe made the Nechash Nechoshes. Why wasn't it destroyed by the previous good leaders who also destroyed the Bodhisattva? Because the answer is everybody had a chance to distinguish themselves. And this gave a chance for Chizkio to distinguish himself by destroying that. So the same way, this is my psak. Until now they didn't do it. Until now they were knowing this way, but I also have a psak here, and this psak makes sense based on Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara said, Mikan Tam Chok. Presumably he was around by all of them until... So it says Adiyim Emel. Until then, they were using it. They had been using it Mashma until Chizkiyahu's time. It said. No, it says Makatrim Lo. They were serving it. So until then, so why didn't Osor Yoshafet? Why didn't they take it away? Why didn't they get rid of it? The answer is everybody did their share. They left this for him, so to speak, for Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu got rid of it this way. Mikan Tam Chacham at the top of Daf Zayin, the third line. Mikan Tam Chacham. If he says, you don't push it aside. You don't separate him from it. Mazich means you don't separate him from his Dvar Halacha. Meaning, just because you say, wait a minute, that's a big Chiddush. You know, you could say today, why? How could any rabbi make some Chiddush today? If it would be true, why didn't Rav Moshe do it? Or why didn't Rav Shlomo Zalman do it? Or why didn't the Stipler do it? Or why didn't somebody else do it? The answer is, you know, everybody's got their thing. There's no, you don't separate him from it. He has a reason for it. You have to accept it. You listen to the Talmud Chacham in that time. Some say, Emaznichanoso. Some say, not that you don't separate it, so that you don't reject it. In other words, the question, what was the gear? So what did you, in all cases, you're trying to say that you support what he said. But is it because you don't separate it from him? Is it because you don't reject him? Or mazichinoso, you know, you don't consider it arrogant, this that he said. If the word that you refer to as mazichin seven kirsiv, it means to separate him from his chiddush kirsiv. Lo yizach hachoshim me'aleifot. You shouldn't separate the choshim me'aleifot. No, yizach is lashon of separating. Don't separate him from what he said. Meaning, stand by him. Mandamrei mazichin, the one who says mazichin kirsiv, ki lo yiznach lo l'mashem. Hashem will never reject us forever. Mandamrei mazichin, the tanan, mishrabuz chuchay aleif. Once the people who were arrogant of the heart, meaning they were arrogant, the Balagaiva, Rabba Machlokas Israel. That's when Machlokasim started happening, because they all fighting, of course, it's all the Shem Shemayim, right? But that's what happens. Okay. So, you know, they say that the joke he said, Rabbi Lev said, that when they all think it's the Shem Shemayim, you know, that it says it's the Machlokas Shem Shemayim, it will be Miskayim. You know, what is Miskayim? Because when each one thinks he's really L'Shem Shemayim, they'll never stop. You'll never stop arguing, you understand? Because one said, I'm L'Shem Shemayim, I'll stand my ground, right? They won't give in. Okay, anyway, that's the idea that's why you shouldn't separate from them. Here we're talking about halacha. Here we're talking about halacha Beit Shan.
Where's the intellectual honesty then? What do you mean? Somebody says something.
Oh, no, I'm talking about in this case. In this case, we have...
All the different... and what this means.
Right.
Whatever it means.
Yeah, it means don't separate from what he said. In other words, accept what he said. Even though he said
wrong.
A big chiddush. No, not that it's wrong. If it's right, in other words, we're trying to say...
So
we're
going to
say.
The chiddush in that.
No, the chiddush, why did they say it before him? If he would be right, why didn't they say it before him? The answer is, everybody has their time. Why didn't some rabbi say this halacha before him? Why didn't he come out with him before him?
I mean, there's no implication that before there was...
Right, just exactly, right. Just because he didn't say it, and just because nobody said it till now, doesn't mean you can't be mechadesh something today. That's all he's saying. Just don't separate it from him, unless if there's a reason to separate. There's a spar against it. There's idea that people say you can't be right because if you were right, somebody would have said it before you. That's not an argument. That's not an argument, the fact that somebody didn't say it before you. If you have an argument, you have a valid argument. Over here, Rabbi Yeshua came to Rabbi, and Rabbi said, "I'm going to posken this based on this edus. That's it. You know, don't tell me just that. Don't separate me from it just because it wasn't till now. Everybody said Beit Shan is part of Eretz Yisrael, and there were no Trumas and Maisos in Eretz Yisrael. He comes along and says, no, you know, we don't. Let's say today somebody would come along and say something like that, something that you know that it's not accepted." The whole community says we're no this chumrah, and somebody wants to come along to be makel and say, "How can we makel now?" We told everybody was machmer, so we throw him out, right? We say you can't. We don't accept what he said. Not true. If he has a good reason for it, you have to accept it. That's the point. Even when it's a kula, here Rebbe was saying a great kula. He was saying you have to do trumas ma'aser. Pardon?
Like today, so they gathered
today.
Wasn't, you know,
if your argument is if your argument is. Right. But as you had on the stage, there are also intellectual reasons right. why it can't be. So it works both ways. And as if the whole reason is listen, the reason you can't be right is because, you know, we didn't do it 100 years ago. That alone is not enough of a reason. That's what he's saying over here. Right. Understand? That alone's not. That's what they rely on a lot. They say, "Listen, I'm going to do like my father, like my father." But that alone, we're saying, is not really enough of a reason. Maybe they didn't have the knowledge, and maybe something was missing then. Now we found it. So he argues that guy, Rabbi Reisman, argues that no, there's reasons why it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. There's technical reasons, scientific reasons, reasons that Pesukim doesn't fit in. That's his argument. Okay, you can have an argument. That's a fair argument. They have a fair, honest
that's
argument.
Did Rav Moshe eat bugs?
Huh?
That's the answer to did Rav Moshe eat bugs? Maybe he did.
Yeah, maybe. What do you mean? What do you mean that there?
Moshe eat lettuce.
Right, right. Yeah.
There's 40,000 bugs on the lettuce.
Right, right, right. So what do they?
Water. All these
right, right, right. So the answer.
So the answer is yeah, he ate bugs.
That's right.
According to this Gemara.
Well, what else did he do? Maybe. What else did he do? He didn't drink the water. I understand.
No,
the people say that.
No, he could. No, you could say that he held the. It physically ate bugs, but you say that he held it. You don't have to check this way.
Either he held that, or there was no way, or right. So when they're coming out with a new chumrah, right, right.
We are eating bugs.
Yeah, okay. So you could say that. You could say that. Right. That's also an argument. And you have to accept that. You could say that. You could accept a new argument today. And many times we use the argument if it was good enough for the Zeta, it was good enough for us
right.
too. And we know we do use that argument, right? If it was good enough for Moshe, it's good enough for me too. But maybe there's some new thing that they found today, or maybe they have an ability to check for something they didn't ever check, couldn't check in those days. There could be some. That's what he's saying. You don't reject it out of hand. That's his argument. The fact that you know that the Zeta did it this way might be a good supporting argument, but that alone, the Gemara is saying, is not enough. Maskel Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rav Shimon Ben Pasi Mikil Aman Domer Beit Shan Lav Eretz Yisrael. How can you argue that Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? Vaksiv Lahorish Menashe Et Beit Shan Det Benoseh Ves Tanach Ves Benoseh. In other words, it was clear that it was part of Eretz Yisrael because it says they, you know, Yeshua. Did not except Osh Menashe. I mean, it was when Menashe was in Menashe's chelik, he didn't kick those people out. He let them stay there. They should be for Avodim, etc. It was clearly part of Eretz Yisrael. He just didn't kick the people out. Ishtemitza, he forgot. Hadram Shemuel Yakum Mishmar Blasar and Parasanas. That's no argument. Shem Shemuel Blasar and Shemuel Harbe Krochem Kav Shemuel Mitzrayim Velo Kav Shemuel Bevel. As we said, Bixav Kedusha Shana Kedusha Shata Velo Kedusha Savo. The first kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that Yeshua, when Yeshua was kovished, did not last forever. It was only until they were exiled. So when they came up, yeah, sure, it was Mikdash the first time. But when the Olei Bevel came back. And they weren't Makdash it again, then it didn't have the Kedusha, because he had it a second time. If it was whatever was Mikdash the second time, because the Pasuk says, Asher Arz Asher Yuvso Secha Virishta. In other words, that your forefathers inherited it, and you'll inherit it again. Once there's a second inheritance, and as once you were Makdash it the second time, then it's Lasa Lovo. It has Kedusha even today. The Kedusha doesn't go away. But if they only had the first Kedusha and they weren't Makdash it the second time, then it doesn't really have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, even though it was technically part of Eretz Yisrael. Why weren't they Makdash the second time? Yinichem, and they left it, so that in Shvias, they will cultivate the land, and the Anim would have what to eat. They did it for the Anim's benefit. In other words, they dafta weren't Makdash it the second time. In other words, pardon? Yeah, that what? Yeah, but they were the Yehud and Shomron and Aza and now, were part of Eretz Yisrael then. He's saying this particular city was left out. This particular city was left out. They left out certain peripheral cities, so they should conquer there. But the general area of Yehudah, Shomron, and Aza, the Pasuk of Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael. It's Pasuk in Tanakh. We had in the Gemara. So all that's not enough. That doesn't take away from that. And anyway, the argument for the 67 borders has nothing to do with the political argument. Has nothing to do with the argument that it's part of Eretz Yisrael. If we go by Eretz Yisrael, we should take part of Syria, part of maybe Eber Yarden, and even more. You know, so that's not that one thing has nothing to do with the other. And it just one of the end of So what's our point? Our point here is that the reason why Beit Shan didn't have the Kedusha was not because it wasn't part of Eretz Yisrael proper. Of course, it was part of Eretz Yisrael proper, but it didn't have the Kedusha because the Olei Bava were in Makdashit on purpose.
That's the reason not to be Makdashit?
Yeah. They weren't Makdashit.
Set up a food
set up what?
No, not to be Makdashit, not to bring
They didn't
back.
Bring the Kedusha to Beit Shan itself, right. As there could have been other cities like
right.
that too, in order so that they could cultivate that land. Like, you see the problem we have Shavuos. What do we do with Shemitah today? We have problems with Shemitah, right? They bring from Chutz Laaretz, et cetera, et cetera. So there are issues, right? There are serious issues. Look at the fights we have today about what's the way to get around people have to eat. So, and he did it for the Aniyim. The rich people can import the stuff, but the poor people couldn't pay to import it. So what did they do? It was leftover for the Aniyim there. That was, they did it on purpose.
Right, but in other words, the rich, everybody else could eat. Everybody else found food.
Well, presumably they could pay for it. They could pour for
it. What I'm saying is, set up a food bank. You're not giving the Kaddish part.
This was the food bank. That's the food bank. That's the food bank. That's what they did.
I'm just saying, it seems very strange.
Well, you can't. They didn't have banks in those days.
We're talking about the Kedusha.
They didn't. Okay, so they were, you know, so the people in Beit Shan had that problem. They wanted to be able to claim something, but so they have their plantation somewhere else. Been a poor city ever
right.
since. All right.
Shows,
no, I'm just saying that that was their food bank. You're asking why they set up a food bank. That is the food bank.
No,
that was that exactly. That's how they set up a food bank.
You set up a food bank. And
what's a food? What's a food bank? What is that?
You give people food
from where?
The same place the rich people
where?
Got.
No, no. So that's how they set it up for them. They set them up there. Here's your own plantation. No, okay. So it wasn't Lonora. Listen, there's only 42,000 of them. They didn't need every last inch of. If we only had 42,000 people today, we also wouldn't need so much land, right?
You could have given taxes.
That is the food bank. The Inuchim Kadeshis Mukhalay Aniyam Mishvias. Amal Rimler of Zayr of Armeir of Olabi Alma. I don't say what kind of a proof is it anyway. Forget about all these arguments. Why was it a proof that he was not Trumas Mises in Beit Shan just because he ate a leaf? He ate one leaf. That's like Echilas Aroy. Echilas Aroy, you don't have to take Mises for. What is that? How did that prove that he didn't keep Trumas Mises? No, he didn't eat it just a leaf by itself. He ate it out of a bunch when it already had a chiyuv. We learned Yerek, which is Haneged, if vegetables were sold like in bunches, like you buy the certain thing today, you buy them in a basket or whatever. Misha Yeged, once it's bunched up, once it's tied up in a bundle, you're chayiv Trumas HaMaisis. So here it had a chiyuv Trumas HaMaisis. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe he just didn't realize. He just ate one leaf. He didn't realize what he was doing. Can't say that. That goes back to our argument. Rosh Hashanah doesn't let them eat something wrong. We said that Takal was eating something wrong. Maybe he took Trumas Meisters from somewhere else. You can do that. You have food here, and I have Trumas Meisters back in my barn. I'll take Trumas Meisters from there and there. He just saw him eat it without taking Trumas Meisters. Maybe he took Trumas Meisters from somewhere else. So don't do that, because that's taking a chance. You're assuming that the food that you have back in your barn at home is still there, hasn't gotten stolen, lost, gone bad, or something like that. So maybe in that piece over there, in that bunch, he said, okay, I'm going to take too much spice from this part, and he ate it from the other part. I'm like, what kind of an argument is this? Chazi man gaver rabba kamasule. His own family member of Beshua ben Zoras, the son of Reyer's father-in-law, gave the sedus. So he knew what he was talking about. He thought took that into consideration. He knew. He sat there with Reyer, and he saw that Reyer didn't take Trumas HaMaisus there. That's how he was able to give the sedus. And based on that, Rebbe was Matar Beit Shan from Trumas HaMaisus. Now, for the last few bletter, we've been talking about the story of the Behemah Hamishel Tzadikim, that the Rosh doesn't bring a Takala. What was the real story? Famous story, Ma'adam Tzadikim, there are Pimpas Benyar, Habigas Lepinyan, Shvuyim. He was on his way to ransom a Jew or some Jews who were held by the Goyim. Poga Baby Ganai Nair, he came to this great river, the river Ganai. Amalei Ganai, Cholok Link Memecha, split yourself, Vevbroch, so I can pass by you just like in Yamsuf. pass by, so, you know, open up so I can pass by. I'm on my way to Pidyon Shvuyim. Amalei, so, you know, Tosfos says, what did the river really respond? Maybe it was the angel, or maybe it was Pinchas Ben Yair's own thinking about what the river's imagination is, what the river would say. So he says, Amalei, Ato lechasu son kecha, you're going to the Yerat Samani lechasu son kecha, what do you got? You're on your way to do a mitzvah, I'm doing my mitzvah. The river says, I'm flowing the river, because the Baruch Shem tells me all the rivers have to flow into the sea. So that's what I'm doing. Just the opposite. You're not even sure if you'll be matzliach. You're not sure if you're going to be able to ransom the people or not. I'm certainly doing the will of the Rosh Hashanah, but don't tell me to stop. If you don't do it, goes. I'm going to be gozer that water will never pass by you anymore. So I'm going to stop you up. So the river opened up. Together with Pinchas Ben Yair, there was another Jew there who was schlepping some wheat for Pesach. Amalei Cholklei also split for him too. Nami Lahai split for him also the mitzvah. He's also being also getting a mitzvah of getting the Pesach matzah ready. Cholklei. Havei Hutai, there was also an Arab merchant there, Delovodai, who had also somehow gotten, you know, been accompanying them. You know, they formed a wagon train. Amalei Cholklei Nami split for him too. The low lame, you shouldn't say kachos and vayva. That's how you do for people or company. Oh, you know, you got through and you're going to leave me behind. Cholikle. Amar Yosef, kam nafish gavra. Look how great Pinchas Yair is. Moshe v'shesim rabim. He's greater than the Moshe and the 600,000 Jews that came with him. Di lahosim chadzimna. By in Yamsuf, the it split one time. Even if they say it split for each of the shvatim, like it so to speak, it split one time. V'halcha klasim. Here he did it three times. V'dum halcha nami chadzimna. Maybe it's also one time. Maybe all Pinchas Yair are saying is, listen, as I'm passing through, don't let the rivers come back and kill those guys. You know, wait till they finish. Maybe it was also one time. Okay. This is Elikim Moshe v'shesim rabim. How you like? Say, not that he was as greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, but at least as great as him. Look how great it was. Okay, so that was the story that he was on his way. Ikla Hushbiz, he came to an inn. Romalei Sari Lechamre. So they put out some barley for his donkey, because that's what donkeys eat. Barbar Lachol. This is the famous story that the Rabban Shem Dim Din Katakala, to the behemoth of Tzadikim, the chamor of the donkey of Rabban Shem Yar, didn't eat because it wasn't gemaiser. Chavtinu, so they thought maybe he didn't eat it because it wasn't properly sifted, so they sifted it, lo'achos, didn't eat. Nakrino, they cleaned it again. They cleaned it even after sifting to get any dirt, lo'achos. Amalu, he said, Dilma lab masrin, maybe these barleys, miser hasn't been taken from them. Asrinu, so they took miser, v'ochel, and then the donkey ate. Like, the donkey would not eat if unless it was miser. And that's why, because not that the donkey has das, but the Rebbe Shlom wouldn't let a tekala come to even the behemoth of a tzaddik. Omer, aniyazu, olech, zatzon, kona. This poor, you know, this nebuch animal is going through his kind of ba'atam mechilnos atfom. You're giving him kevel. What's going on to him? Are you mechuyif? Are you mechuyif? Take shumas and maestros on animal food. We learn vatnan halakech lezera. Let's say you buy some seed. Now, you buy a seed from an amoris. We're talking about if you know for sure it wasn't shumas and maestros, you have to take shumas and maestros and everything. But let's say you buy some seed. Or for seeding, you know, for planting, or to give to an animal food. The chemichlor, so you buy some flour to, you know, for animal tanning or whatever, for animal, for, you know, hide tanning, for working out the hide, the shemelin air, or you buy shemen for animals. You're not going to eat these things. The shemelin also plus a kalim, or oil to use to clean or to beautify the kalim. Potter me'admai. This is a potter me'admai. He's a part of Dmai. Dmai is, what is Dmai? Dmai is, you buy from an Amaretz, you don't know. So most Amaretz, Maratzim, they take Trumas, right? Trumas they're afraid of. Trumas is a Chayiv Amisa. And most of them even take Miser, but some don't. So there's a Gzeir. We saw yesterday, they didn't make a Gzeir when it's mixed, when you buy an already mixed product, right? But if it's separated, you have to take Trumas Miser. You have to take Miser again, unless it's for these purposes. So you see, you don't have to take Miser. This is even for some Amaretz, you don't have to take Miser. Again, so what's your problem? So Hasamoit, there we explain. That's only if you bought it originally for animal feed. If you originally bought it for human consumption, and then you change your mind, give it to animal, then chayv laser. The whole time, here's the proof. This is benichus. Okay, payers man, you buy payers in the marketplace. Pardon?
How does that prove that?
So over here, in the case of Pinchas Ben Yair, the food was originally bought for human beings. And then they decided to give his animal, he showed up with his animal, so they gave him some. So So that had halacha that had to be given meiser from them because right. my. And since it wasn't meiser, that's why the animal didn't eat it. That's why it didn't eat it. The question was,
how do you know from that the animal has it? What we're trying to understand why an animal has to have meiser.
No, not why the animal said. You, as the owner of the animal, said.
So I didn't. But right. why can't the animal eat it? It still doesn't answer.
No, no, no. If your gift to your animal, as right. you as the owner of the animal, have a chiyuv right. that your stuff is supposed to be nicer. You stand by. If you bought it for animal feed itself, it doesn't have to. But if you bought original feed, some chiyuv there. This
so
right.
The
this
problem's not the animal. The problem's
you, right? So the problem is that this food that the innkeeper had given, this barley had given, had originally had a chiyuv of mice on it. Because right. even though it was demai, but it was originally bought for human consumption, he was going to serve it in the hotel. And then he gave it to the animal. As such, it had a chiyuv. And Mena Shemayim, there goes that the Chamor of Pinchas Minyar should not eat food that had a key of giving Meisr. The owner had a key to give Meisr, the innkeeper, and he didn't do it.
It's not the animal.
No, that's the animal's no chiyuv. He bought originally for animal feed. No, the animal certainly has no chiyuv himself.
If the animal had eaten it, that would have been a problem for...
It would have been a problem for Pinchas Minyar because his animal was involved in an Aveira, so to speak. That's, in that sense. It's not even not an Aveira. It's a Takola even. It's not even an Aveira. It's just like, you know, like it's something that wasn't good. If you buy it for human consumption, you shouldn't give it to your animal or somebody else's animal until you gave meiser, right? Because it was usually bought for human consumption. So there was a chiyuv minarabbanan to give it to meiser. Again, minaraisa yisamach on a road, most human. But minarabbanan on a road and said it's demai, you have to give meiser, you have to give to meiser. Shama Rebbe. Now, so Pinchas Ben Yair now continued on his way. First, he had the story with the river. Then he had the story with the inn and his animal not eating. That's the famous story that Rosh Hashanah doesn't bring a takala. The takala being that the animal would have eaten food which had a chiv of giving meiser on it because it's demai, and because the food was originally human food. Shama Rabbi. Rabbi heard that Pinchas Ben Yair is coming. Nafkab, he went out to greet him. Amalei, Ritzon Chasad, I said, would you like to eat, please? Please be my guest and eat by me. Amalei, now as we'll see, Pinchas Ben Yair never ate by anybody. He didn't want to have enough from anybody. He didn't want to take from anybody's food. That's what it was. Amalei, hey. So he answered him, yes. So of Oponosha Rabbi. Rabbi was like gleeful. He was so happy because he knew Pinchas Ben Yair never ate by anybody. And he accepted his invitation. He was thrilled. Why are you so happy? Like you think, like you're so excited. Like I wouldn't normally accept an invitation. Like I made a neder that I'm not going to have enough from Jews. You think Shemura Anam Yisraelini that I've taken a vow that I'm not going to like. Well, what's this reputation that precedes me? And I'm not going to eat by anybody. You think that's my? And you think I wouldn't eat by you? Yisrael Kedoshim. Jews are holy people. The problem is though, they're holy people, but. You know, it's like, I like all the Jews. I like Jews in general. I just hate each and every one of them individually, right? But I like, in general, they're all good Jews. All right? Kedoshimim. Yesh Rotsa. Yeah, right. It's all right. Yesh Rotsa v'ein lo. But the problem is this. Some want to give. Some want to serve. They want to invite you over. V'ein lo. I don't want to take from a poor person. They all want to give. They all want to invite you. But the problem is some don't have what to give. I don't want to take from a person who doesn't have. Yesh, v'yesh, sheyesh, and some have. Vayneroth doesn't want to give. The Pasuk says, this is the same parsha that we talked about yesterday, the Pasuk of Al-Tilcham. We had yesterday in Mishlei on the Vav Amar Aleph. Esam tesaken v'loecha. You know, be careful. We darshan it for... You know, we talked there about the, you know, the Pasha of the cross, speaking about a Talmud Chacham sitting in front of his Rebbe. But what the drasha was by where... By Surim Chazar, he says, you know, don't take from them, right? Because they, because they're of the Avodah Zarah or whatever. But the pasuk says right afterwards. This is the right after the next pasuk says, Al tichum es lechem ra. Don't eat people with lechem ra ayin. If a person who's cheap, in other words, be careful. When you got even a guy has plenty, but he doesn't really want you to eat. Val tesolam atosav, and don't desire his delicacies. Kikamo shar benafsha. There's like a gate in his nefesh. Rashi says it's like opening up a gate in his stomach. Like, you know, you're taking it away from him. Cain who? Echol v'shasei. He'll say, oh, come please, eat and drink by me. V'libo balimach, but his heart's not with you. In other words, so he says, the reason I generally don't accept invitations is either because the person's poor and I don't want to take from a poor person, or even if he's wealthy, he doesn't want to give. V'ata, but you, Rebbe, wrote Saviyeshacha, I know you have, you're wealthy, and you want to give, so I'll be glad to be your guest. Right, yes, Mia Hashtag, but right now, I can't come right now. I'm in a rush. the Mamilsa Mitzvah Katachem, I'm on my way to be put in Shvuyim. I just don't have time now. Kiadrina, when I come, Asina Kiadrina is on my way back, I will go back, I'll come into Yaski. Also, when he came back, doesn't say what happened with Pidin Shvuyim, when he came back, Israme, it turned out, all Bahu, as he came to him, all Bahu Pistua Dave Kaiman Bey could Naisach Ras. Rebbe was a very wealthy man. He had barns and all kinds of stuff. He had, you know, millions of dollars of equipment and land, etc. So, Havi, all Kiyavi Israme, when he came, he happened to be also, when he came back, Israme, it turned out that by chance, all Bahu Pistua, by chance in quotes, all but he came in through the door that became like could nice Chrisa. That Rebbe, he came into the door, like the door where Rebbe had there a lot of white mules. White mules were known to be very destructive. He says, you have a Malacham Avos over here, and by Niyasa, that's not I'm going to eat here. I'm out of here. You know, he said, one excuse, that's all things we are needed. Shema Rebbe, Rebbe heard. Nothing again, Amalei. What are you, upset about the white mules? I'll sell them. I'll sell them. Amalei, if you listen, who are you going to sell them to? You know, somebody else who's gonna let them hurt people? That's no good. So mafkinalu, I'll be mafker them. So mafshes a zeka. That's even gonna be worse. They'll be running wild. They'll do damage all over the place if nobody's a balabayit there. Akrinalu, I'll cut their legs, and as I'll cut their muscles off. They won't be able to do much damage. So you could sar balchaim's learned as deraisa. Ketnilal, so I'll kill them. Ikebal tashus, what are you gonna kill them for nothing? In other words, they can't keep them around people though. They have some purpose, but not around here. Rebbe was you know, arguing with him a lot, trying to press his case. All of a sudden, Gavah Turbanai and a mountain came up between them. In other words, like, so to speak, that Pinchas Meor was moved away from him, and he couldn't have him as a guest. Bachar Rebbe cried, "Bamer Ma Bachayenkach Marf Wal Pi." That said, when they're alive, the Baruch Shalom does their Ratzon, but Nisasun Achas Kam B'Kama. Certainly, when they die. In other words, obviously, Pinchas Meor didn't want to eat by people's houses. He didn't want to eat here. So he gave him an excuse, etc., until, you know, Barsham, so to speak, separated him from them. It was miraculously, he was moved away. So when they die, certainly, when they die, their Ratzon is even more. Barsham does a Ratzon. Dam Rab Chamar Chanin, a good old tzaddik, and he says, and he says, Mechayim. Pardon?
Then he certainly
won't eat by them. Then he certainly won't eat by them, right. Very good. Dam Rab Chamar, Yom Hasidim, he says, Sadiqim are greater in their death, Yosem Chem, more than in their life. Shnem Vahihem Kovim Ish. They were bearing a bad guy. Vine Ross, they saw a band coming after them. So Vashlichasuish, they terminated the funeral in the middle. Vashlichasuish Bekevalisha, they threw the guy down into the Kevalisha. Vayelich Vayigah Ish Matzvus, the man went dead. He touched the bones of Elisha. Vayichi, and that gave him life. Vayakamal Ragav. Rashi learns that. Elisha, when he wanted to mechai somebody when he was alive, remember he had to put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and do the whole procedure. Here he just touched him and the guy was revived. To show you that when tzaddikim, when they're dead, they have even greater power when they're alive. Omele Rapapa, that's how Rashi and Tosfos learns a little bit differently. Omele Rapapa Labaye, Vidilma Lekume Birchzaleo. No, maybe that had nothing to do with Elisha's powers. It was simply to be Mekayim, the Bracha Belio. Elisha asked him for double his power, and Elio granted it. So because Elio had revived one person, he was going to revive two. Omele, if that would be the case, Ihachi, Hayan Netanya Al Ragavam, it says over there, he got up on his feet. But it doesn't say, he didn't say he went home, because we learned the Brisa. Yeah, he got up on his feet just to run away from Elisha, because he wasn't supposed to be buried next to a tzaddik. But he never made it home. It was just a temporary thing, right? So, So that doesn't make sense if you say, if Elio gave him the power to Mechai Mason, then this wasn't really Mechai Mason. The only thing you did was it give him, but you do see that he had a more of a power in death. He was able to revive even temporarily than in life. Of my time. So then how was the bracha of Elio Mekuyam if he doesn't really revive this person permanently? Of my time, could Rabbi Yochanan to Sharipa Tzras Naaman, because he healed the Tzras of the leprosy of Naaman, Shishkul Kameis, which is the equivalent of death. Shenemar Al Naki Si Kameis, she shouldn't be with Mir. By Mir, it says, don't let her be like a dead person. Mitzora, an Ani, a Mitzora, and who else is Doma Lameis? Ani, Mitzora, and... Huh? And somebody without children is like Dom Lemay, so Rahman said, yeah. So some does it, it's Dom Lemay. So he says, that's one of the Lemay. So when he healed him, it was like he revived somebody, like he revived a person from the dead. He probably had some use for them, but he was like a multi-zillionaire Rebbe. He was the richest guy around. So he probably had them, maybe used them for some, I don't know, for knocking down trees, who knows. But he had them there, you know, and Pinchas Meor was looking for the littlest excuse. Amar Shimon Levi. Why are these white mules called Yemim? That's what there was. It's in Hebrew, it's called Yem Sha'ema some class of Bris, because they like Ema, the fear is on the Bris. People are afraid of them. Dharma Khanina. Khanina was a was a shtickle doctor. In those days, he was a big doctor. Rav Chanina, miyamai lo shalni adam al makas pir de levana. Nobody's ever come to me with a case, of a pir de levana, of a white mule, v'chaya, and live. What do you mean he didn't live? A chasina de chay. People do live after such a wound. Eima v'chaya is the wound never healed. They live, but the wound never healed. I have a chasina de mitzvay. Sometimes the wound heals too. This is the chivrin reish karayu coming. I'm speaking about if a white mule, who's the tip of his foot is also white, that never gets healed. For some reason, maybe there's some poison in there, whatever, never gets healed. Ain't no mavada, the pasuk says, Amar Chanina. Another Amar Chanina said, Afilu kshafim. Ain't no, nobody's by Hashem. Ain't no mavada, there's nothing but Hashem. Even kshafim, even kshafims, we'll see, have a power to do things, even when it's not the ratzon of Hashem. But here, even kshafim have no power by Chanina. What was the story? He is, there was a woman, Havikamahadris Lemishko, offer mitusei kari of Chanina. There was a woman, a machshefista, who wanted to do a kishif against Rav Chanina. And one of the ways was, you take the dirt from under his feet and throws it up and says something. Says her hocus pocus. So Rav Chanina, Amalu Shkule, she says, don't worry, go take, you want to take dirt from under my feet? Go ahead, he told her. Lo mestayim milsef, you won't be successful. Ain't no b'vadik, it says, nobody's but Hashem. In other words, your kishif has no power against Hashem. If Hashem doesn't want to hurt me, nothing's going to happen. Ivar Mechanin, Lomenek Rashmokshim, why is it called Shafim? Shemakishin from Mali Shal Mala. Kishafim is Rosh Etevos, is an acronym for Makishim from Mali Shal Mala, right? It goes against the family upstairs, meaning it goes against Rabban Shalom's will. Even though Rabban Shalom doesn't want to hurt the person, the Kshafim have such a power. Rav Chanina had more than that. In a Stam case, yeah, but Rav Chanina knew was a man had a lot of merits, his family, etc., and therefore he knew that it couldn't harm him at all. This is brought down because we quoted Rav Chanina before with the story with the white mule, so we brought down Rav Chanina's case. I'm Rav Chanina. There's a famous line. Ain adam nokef etzbo lamata. You don't stub your finger down here on this world. Elam kemachriz lo mamala. Everything that happens to you is mena shemaim. Hashgacha pratis. You don't even stub your finger unless it's mena shemaim. Shneimar me Hashem mitzadei gover. From Hashem are the footsteps of person konenu, or they are established. Va'adam mayaven darko. What does a person understand of his way? In other words, it's all mena shemaim. Omer blazer adam nikuf meratzik adam milf. If a person has blood, comes up with blood from his toe, from stubbing his toe, and blood comes out, it atones for him just like as if he brings an ola. Omer Rava begodol yamin. It only means by his big toe on his right hand, right foot, because presumably he kicked it with great power. Uvinik of sheni, the second time he stubbed. In other words, it's already damaged and hasn't healed. That hurts a lot. The who the cause of dvar mitzvah, says Gemara. Now, if he's at that stam, if he's on his way to do a mitzvah, he's on his way to do a mitzvah, and a person on his way to mitzvah does not really get damaged, right? But here, if he's on his way to do a mitzvah and he stubbed the toe for the second time and it really hurts and blood comes out, it's meratzah, as if he brought a carbon. He never ate food, never broke bread that wasn't his. From the time that he was a bar das and he was able to understand things, he didn't even eat from his father's house. It wasn't only others. He took care of himself. Yerusha maybe. Then it's not his father's anymore. Then it's his. But he didn't eat even from his father's house during his life.
All right. Yeah.
Because Shurich Metz Ein Nizakin, right? That's the kasha. The answer is because. So first of all, you could argue that it's not really Nizak over here. He just stubbed his toe. It's not like terrible, not like a life-endangering thing. But also you could say, when he's on his way to do a bar mitzvah, normally, you're not Nizak. So over here, the Nizak takes the place of bringing Ola, because he's drawing blood. It's like bringing a carbon over here. So if he's on his way to do it, then he's
bringing... Why should he have the Ikutsi the Marashah?
Yeah.
Which
toe did you
bring?
For
the big one?
Yeah, for what?
For
the Uruh.
He had bad thoughts.
Very good. Okay, very good. All right, good. Shkoyach.